I think Robin is recording, so if everybody's ready, we can get started. Call this to order. This is the August 19th, 2024, election canvas for the primary election. I am Karen Willey, Chair of the County Commission. I have with me Commissioner Patrick Kelly and Register of Deeds Kent Brown. And we will kick it off to Jamie Hsu, our clerk, to walk us through.
Welcome this morning, commissioners. Your first order of business is to appoint Kent as a member of the Board of Canvassers.
Motion to appoint Kent as a member of the Board of Canvassers.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you for serving with us.
I have one more of these coming out. Our copier has been, I'll give you, it'll come out here in a second, Kent.
Okay.
Commissioners, we had the August primary that happened on August 6th. We had 14,900 ballots cast, which is much lower than I anticipated for this August election. So it's about 18.5% turnout. There are no manifest errors that were found in any of the auditing. During the hand audit by the hand board, the results matched the results that were reported.
Just one precinct that's chosen for the hand audit?
No, it's multiple precincts. Okay. So the Secretary of State's office pulls the races, and then they give us the races, and then we have a random draw of the precincts for each race. So we did a precinct for a federal, a state, and a local.
Thank you.
And here comes your copy of that. We really don't have any close races. There is a... That goes to Kim. Thanks.
Thank you.
There is a. Does your badge? Do you have your badge?
Oh yeah.
There is a race. The state representative 42, which comes into Eudora, is within 40 votes. I think there's 10 provisionals out of us. It's in Leavenworth, Jefferson, in here. I don't think there's enough provisionals out there that would change that. And of course, as you know, provisionals trend the way election day, so not all 10 would go for a candidate. And then probably the closest race, and this always happens in precinct 30, I think it's 39, it's divided by one for a precinct committee person. Or is it 30? Do you remember which one?
29.
So that one actually will do, there are some out of that, so Thomas Barker is ahead by one right now. It's 55 to 54. It seems like our precinct committee people are always, ends up being, the only ties I've ever had have been a precinct committee person. So that could change. Everything else is, there's nothing that's close with this. So. We can go ahead and get started. Okay. Just as a reminder, we'll go through that we balance to the ballot. So we balance the ballots to the number of voters. We'll go over election day. We'll go over our advance report. I have some items to talk about with that. We'll go over our provisional report and our write-ins, and then certify this election. So, to get started, precinct one, we had 155 ballots, 7 provisionals, 155 signatures, 7 provisional signatures. Precincts 2, 3, and 7, 373 ballots, 8 provisionals, 373 signatures, 8 provisional signatures. Precincts 4, 5, and 42, 339 ballots, 4 provisionals, 339 signatures, 4 provisional signatures. Precinct 11, 142 ballots, 1 provisional, 142 signatures, 1 provisional signature. Precincts 12, 23, and 24, 399 ballots, 11 provisionals, 399 signatures, 11 provisional signatures. 6 and 13, 409 ballots, 3 provisionals, 408 e-poll book, 1 paper poll book for 409, 3 provisionals. Precincts 14 and 17, 416 ballots, 5 provisionals. 415 e-poll book, 1 paper poll book for 416 and 5 provisionals. 10 and 15, 191 and 3, 191 and 3. 9 and 21, 180 and 4, 180 and 4. 16 and 46, 380. 13 provisionals, 380 signatures, 13 provisional signatures. 18 and 48, 506 ballots, 6 provisionals, 506 e-poll books, 6 provisional signatures. 19, 225 and 1, 220 on e-poll book, 5 paper poll book, 1 provisional. 20 and 71, 549 ballots for the scanner, 11 provisionals, 549 e-poll book, 11 provisional signatures. 22 and 76, 146 and 2, 146 and 2. 25 and 26, 186 and 4, 186 and 4. 32 and 30, 128 ballots through the scanner, 5 provisionals, 127 signatures and 5 provisional signatures. We have one provisional voter place their ballot in the tabulator, so it got counted, which is why you're over by one. It is a change of address. We did the research, it is a change of address. It would have been a recommended count. 29, 121 ballots through the scanner, 5 provisionals, 1 hand count. That ballot was had destruction on it and it wouldn't read it, so we did it as a hand count. So 122 e-poll book, 5 provisionals for 127. Precinct 31, 178 and 2, 179 and 2. That is actually, I'll have to look at that one. There was a reason by that.
Jamie, the ballots through the scanner plus the provisionals is not equaling the total that's there. I think that's...
Yes, right.
I'm missing that one. Okay.
Yeah. We'll look at that one real quick. 27, 28, 265 and 3, 265 and 3, 33, 221 and 2, 221 and 2, 34, 143 and 1, 143 and 1, 35, 157 and 1, 157 and 1, 36, 37, 38 and 77, 494 and 9, 493, 1 paper poll book signature, 9 provisional signatures. B and 65, 52 through the scanner, 2 provisionals. 51 and 2 provisionals. So in August, what we deal with is paper ballots collect moisture. And so we had one ballot that hung out the back, and the poll workers did what they should not do, which is they re-ran it. So they ran it twice. So that is why they're over by one ballot. They're supposed to just pull it through because it is counted it, but they reached in, pulled it out, and put it in. So we'll work on training with them. Precinct 39, 198 and 11, 198 and 11. Precinct 8 and 40, 233 and 4, 233 and 4. Precinct 41, 343 and 4, 343 and 4. Precinct 43 and 70, 285 and 6, 285 and 6. Precinct 44 and 64, 221 and 3, 221 and 2. One provisional voter did not sign the provisional book. We did confirm that the envelope was there. They just did not sign the provisional, so that's why you're off on that. 45 and 49, 494 and 4, 494 and 4. 47, 106 and 1, 106 and 1. 50 and 54, 350 and 3, 350 and 3. 51, 114 and 3, 113, one paper poll book, three provisionals. Precinct 52, 111 and 1, 111 and 1. Precinct 53, 255 and 2, 255 and 2. 55, 52 and 0, 52 and 0. 56, 200, 1, 200, 1. 57, 58, 228 and 3, 228 and 3. 59, 137 and 2. 128, nine people signed the paper poll book, two provisionals. 60 and 62, 438 and 2, 438 and 2. 61, 224 and 1. We had two voters that insisted on not putting their ballots in the tabulator. They wanted a hand count. That is something that has been happening in Johnson County, so we had a process prepared for that. What happens is it gets sealed in an envelope, and the next day they get opened by a hand count board. One person reads their ballot out loud, two people mark the ballots, and then they get entered into the tabulator. So there's technically nothing in law where they can request that, but we accommodated them. 226 and 1. 202 and 1, 202 and 1 for 63, 66 and 69, 275 and 4, 275 and 4, 67, 207 and 2, 207 and 2, 74, 299 and 6, 299 and 6.
So Jamie, the two that wanted the hand count, they did, however, sign the e-poll book, is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. This happened in March with Johnson County, so we had a process prepared for it. We just hand count it the next day. So
the hand count board that went to, is that the same that does the hand audit, or is it just was formed?
It was different. It was a part of the advance board. We bring in all these bipartisan boards mm-hmm. to do all kinds of functions. So mm-hmm. they just took those two ballots and did the hand count process.
Thank you.
So I will go check on 31. Let's move forward on advance. We had 2,114 vote in person here in the office. 28 of those are provisional. For 2,086 were tabulated for election night. For mail, 2,426 were requested. We received back 1,531. Of those received back, 27 of those were undeliverable. 15 were provisional. So that was 1,489 that we counted for the election. So we were 3,575 returned and in person advance. At the bottom are some notes that I want to talk about. I don't know if you've read in the newspaper about some problems with the post office that became glaringly a problem for us and across the state over this election. So we can receive anything up until that Friday afterward as long as it is postmarked before election day. So was it the night? What was the date?
12th.
The 12th.
The day we got it back. Yeah.
On the 12th, a week after the election, we received the 12th and 13th, we received 200 ballots that were postmarked before Election Day. 48 of those ballots were marked from July 22nd. It took 3 weeks from when they were postmarked in Kansas City to get to our office in Lawrence. The majority of those were sent from Lawrence. So something happened from when they were postmarked 3 weeks prior in Lawrence to getting to us. Luckily, we don't have any close races, right? Riley County is dealing with it right now. They have a really close race. I think it's 5 votes. And they also received a bunch of ballots that have been somewhere for the past couple weeks. So I'm highlighting it because Secretary of State's office is aware, the federal government's aware. I was not very happy with that. I think my quote was the Pony Express took a shorter time to get across the country than actually these ballots took to get to us. That's a concern as we look forward to November when we mail 20-some thousand ballots. So we're talking about the ways that we can do education about once you get your ballot, you need to mail it as soon as possible or put it in a drop box or drop it off at our office or something. The Secretary of State is going to work on that. He and I talked this weekend about concerns about it, but I wanted to kind of say it with the canvas that we had. So we mailed 2,400 ballots, 200. I mean, that's a pretty significant percentage that were properly postmarked, just not received by that Friday.
You mentioned the July 22nd was that postmark date on a majority of them. Was that like one day that really was the outlier and stood out as that?
It was probably one of the biggest ones, but I mean, the rest of them were spread out from, I mean, I have a spreadsheet that I shared with the Secretary of State's office and the postmaster on that. But 22nd stuck out because that's 3 weeks, right?
When is the last day to officially to postmark it and mail that?
Election day.
Okay.
So these voters, this is my opinion, these voters did what they were supposed to do. I mean, the 22nd election day was on the 6th. Logic tells you if I put it in the mail, you know, a couple weeks before the election, it's going to return to the post, you know, I'll get it by that time. Now, we have a tracking system where the only county in the state that tracks ballots. So we were able to know that there was kind of a hang up and we talked to the post office. The Lawrence post office, by the way, is extremely helpful. This is Kansas City that we're dealing with, the new processing center. What we were able to do with a lot of voters, and you'll see that in provisionals, was say, it's clear we don't have it. Go to your polling place and vote. And then your provisional will count if we don't get your advance ballot. So there were a number of voters that they were tracking their ballot through our tracking system, and we were able to say, go vote, right?
And is that 28 total in-person provisional from the mail?
No, reflected on Election Day when we talk about Election Day.
Do we know how many people?
Election Day advance not returned was 20. So, now that's for the people that were tracking it mm-hmm. and so forth. I'm hoping that whatever it is gets solved by November, but it is a concern. It's not just us. I want to be clear, it's not just us. It is statewide. It's all the processing centers, and it's across the country, too. So, although it was interesting, many of the ones that came from across the country got here faster than the ones that came through Kansas City. So, yeah. So that's your advance report. So for your provisionals, for the recommended to count, 73 are change of address, the recommended to count. 14 are name change, recommended to count. 5 were poll worker or clerical error. They were either in the poll book and the poll workers just didn't see them or something along those lines. But it shouldn't have been provisional. That also includes a couple of them, unaffiliated voters that declared weren't supposed to be provisional, but a couple of poll workers very early in the morning did that and we caught it. Advance ballot not returned is the one I was talking about. So 20 people on election day went in, advance ballot not returned, and then five of those were also prior to election day. So we told them to come in the office and vote also. Two people brought in their ID after election day. 16 full count, they were in the wrong precinct. 13 are partial counts in the wrong precinct, so we can only count the races that are similar across the precincts. So that's 148 recommended to count. Recommended not to count. 10, we could not find any registration at all. 14 had expired or did not provide ID. The majority of those were expired IDs. They just need to get us an ID by today. What we have found, I mean, we've been doing ID since 2012. What we have found is it used to be people were really on top of that, but now they're like, well, I've seen the results, I'm good, right? So advance returned is 7. Those were largely people that we said go ahead and vote, so there's 7 on election day. We did receive their ballot. So I don't want it to look like those were people trying to vote twice. We instructed them, go vote. We did receive their ballot, we count their ballot, we don't count the advance. We had 13 who were registered in another county. 15 were people, so this is a closed primary. What we tell the poll workers is if someone is registered with a party and they argue with you about casting a ballot for that party, don't get into an argument, just have them vote provisional, but those don't count. And then we have 9 advance that we did get before Friday but did not have a postmark, so it has to have a clear marking on it for us to count it. We're not just going to, just because we accepted on Friday, I have to have proof that it was actually mailed prior to election day. And then we had 4 that were received by Friday, but the postmark was after election day. Those 4 are interesting because they were postmarked on the 7th. We received them on the 9th. So those took 2 days. I don't understand. And we don't have any. We have had long conversations with the post office to say, where were these? Because you postmarked them, right?
And these that had no postmark, you received them by mail.
Right.
There was no postmark on
correct. They're supposed to put a postmark on it. Okay. That's the other thing that we struggled with the post office is putting through mail with no postmark. So I don't know if you follow the processing centers. They've had some challenges. So that's a count, a no count of 72. So we had 220 provisional ballots. We are recommending to count 148. We are recommending not to count 72. And I need a motion to accept the provisionals.
I'm happy to make a motion to accept the provisional ballots.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I need initials on that.
And Jane, those provisional ballots, what happens to this next?
We have a board here that will, we get this question a lot because the provisional ballots do have identifying information on them. So after this, the board will publicly sit here, rip off the identifying information, put it to the side, open up the ballots, and then we'll run the ballots and add those to the totals. Okay.
Who gets to serve on that board?
Largely poll workers, people that work our advance board, they're bipartisan. Some of our hardened veterans. So. okay, so something new with write-ins on state law. State law now, for most races, you now have to file an affidavit of write-in 30 days prior to the election if you want us to count your write-in. So all the county seats, the state seats, and so forth, unless there's an affidavit, we don't even tally it, which has been really good. It took us about 2.5 days to do the write-ins when it would have taken us over a week to do the write-ins. And for all those races, you need about 5% of the total registered voters to make it to the general ballot. So we would do all that work, not really for someone to get nominated, right? But township offices and precinct committee offices are different, so we did do those write-ins. So for township offices, you have to receive 3 votes in order to be on the general ballot. And we did have some township offices where nobody filed. So what you see here, and I'll go through them, are people who received at least 3 votes and can go on the ballot. Now that 3 vote, that's a pretty low bar. So sometimes people get nominated that don't want to be on the ballot. So there's a special provision for township people. A good example, and I don't know if this is true, but Palmyra trustee, this individual got 3 votes. This individual may not actually want to be on the ballot. So they have 10 days after we send the nomination to remove themselves from the ballot. They're the only ones that can do that, because I've had before, people have called and said, I don't really want to do this. I'm like, well, 3 of your friends wanted you to do it. So just to let you know, this doesn't, they can say no. Now I can see some of these, it's clear that they were running a campaign. So the people that were nominated that will be on the November ballot, for Marion Township trustee as a Republican, Mike Forth got 25 votes. For Marion Township treasurer, on the Democratic side, Jim Jolly got 4 votes. Marion Township treasurer, Republican, Linda Lang got 27 votes. No one filed for any of the Marion Township spots, so that's why you see a lot of Marion Township. Palmyra Township trustee on the Democratic side, Connor Mitchell, got 3 votes. And Wakarusa Township trustee on the Democratic side, Gerald Dwyer, got 5 votes. So for precinct committee people, this was actually an election, so this is not a nomination, and the bar for them is 5 votes. Why 2 more than township? I don't know. So in order to get elected, you have to have 5 votes. So these are the people who were elected in this election. Precinct 7 on the Democratic side, Brad Mathewson had 5 votes. Precinct 9 on the Democratic side, Zane Hayden had 5 votes. Precinct 22 on the Democratic side, Wayne Ricks got 5 votes. Precinct 35, H46, Fred Sack got 5 votes. Precinct 16 on the Democratic side, Lori Jo Phillips got 16. Precinct 53B on the Democratic side, Penny Von Auken got 11. Precinct 61 on the Democratic side, Cynthia Beal got 5. Precinct 67, H5CC3, Georgia Blackwood got 6. So you need a motion to accept the write-in votes, and then I'll be ready.
Motion to accept the write-in votes.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
And before we move forward, we're gonna go look at precinct 31. I remember there was a signature issue, and we'll be right back.
Until Jamie comes back. Do that.
So we're printing out new copies. That's a mistake on our part, and I brought proof for you. Checkers is actually 122. This is the tape from their election day, so you can look at it, which shows that it's 122. The hand-counted ballot was out of 31. They're the ones that lost power for a couple hours, and that was a ballot. The machines still work and so forth, so the hand count should be on precinct 31, and here's their proof of 178. So that's where the hand count was. So if you see at the top, it says pages count.
So this one hand count that's documented for 29 actually appeared in 31.
31.
Excellent, thank you.
And then checkers is 122. So right. We're printing out new ones.
Okay.
That was a mistake on our part. But that's why we approved.
Thanks for bringing the tickets.
Any questions? If there aren't any questions, then I need a motion to approve the election and to adjourn unless called back.
Do you want us to wait till we have the new copy?
Yeah, you can. Just as an FYI, we're preparing for November. Our anticipation is turnout will not be a problem in November based off the phone calls we're already getting. People who are very upset that I don't have ballots yet for them. We don't even have an election done. So there is a lot of anticipation for that.
You don't have some nominees yet either, do you?
No,
yeah.
Right. But we anticipate it could be record setting, so we're preparing for that.
Some of these precincts that meet together, are you going to split some of those, or we just
no, don't have sites, and B, I don't like making changes between election day and between the primary and the general. We will open up satellites prior to the election for advance voting. And then we have that informational brochure that will come out about the 1st of September with all the different ways to vote and the way to apply for an advance ballot and so forth.
Will that also include that we've had trouble with the post office?
No, the information we're going to have will go out. So there's an informational sheet when we send out the ballot that will be, you know, you need to send it back as soon as possible. So I think one of the things is you'll see, I know the Secretary of State is really probably going to do some PR stuff on that. So you'll see a lot of communication about that also.
So this 18.5% turnout, what is typical for a primary if this one was low?
Well, I was anticipating it would be more, you can't really compare 22 and 20 because 22 was the abortion vote, 20 was COVID. In 18, we had over 20,000 voters. And then in 16, we were at about 12,000 voters. I thought we would be closer to that 20,000 voter mark. I can tell you, there are places that had a pretty good turnout, especially on the Democratic side. We had a really low turnout on the Republican side. There weren't as many races, so that impacted turnout. We had probably more primary races than we've had in a really long time. So I thought that would kind of draw turnout. Douglas County has always struggled with an August primary. People are gone, it's right before school, the fair's over. We've always had a lower turnout. The students aren't here, so.
What percentage are you planning for the general?
That's a great question. In 2020, we were over 60,000 voters, which is the first time in our history we've been over 60,000. Mm-hmm. I think we could get close to that. Usually we're at like 54 and 53, based off of kind of what we're seeing. I think we could get close to 60,000. So,
I have a question for you while we're waiting. So we are a three-person county commission, and it's been three people to canvass the election, usually commissioners, but they can be filled in by other elected officials. What happens when there are five of us? Is this then become a five-person board? And
yes.
Who is eligible to serve on either this three-member board or the five-member board?
It's the commission. So the board now becomes a five-member canvass board. In Kansas counties that have seven, it's a seven-member canvass board. What Kansas law says is that the Board of Commissioners shall serve as the Board of Canvassers. It doesn't say the number. What it does change is that if there were a question about a vote, what you'll get used to now, the majority will, you don't need all five to vote to confirm the election, it would be three.
So we've always asked another elected official to stand in if one of us couldn't make it. Who is eligible to fulfill that position?
So it's up to the commission to decide that. What the law says is that they just need to fill that spot. Historically in Douglas County, what has happened is, since I've been here, it's a person of the same party as that commissioner, and usually it's a former commissioner or a current elected.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, we get a lot of questions about that, especially during election year, but actually the board of commissioners are the canvassers. I'll check those out.
Thank you. Again, we're just waiting on one final printout that we can vote on.
Sorry, purchase on the prints.
So you can see on the correction, checkers 122 with 122, 5 and 5, and then 31 with 178 plus the hand count, which is 179, 2, and 2.
So we have an amended missing status abstract to each. Do we have a motion to accept the results of the election?
Motion to accept the election results.
Would be?
With the change.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Jamie, do you have other business for us?
No, not at this moment. I think we kind of talked about this thing. You know, I always say this, I appreciate the support for the resources we have, especially as we get ready to get this big election, but also this space in order to accommodate what we're getting ready to get hit with versus the courthouse. And then things like tracking ballots and so forth. So I appreciate that support.
Any further questions for Jamie or business for this board? No. Thank you all. And with that,
you need a motion to adjourn. That was just a motion to approve.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Normally do that, but I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We are adjourned, and now the board gets to handle the provisionals.
Yes.